What's up, everybody? It's Roger and James here from the Disc Union Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking all about our thoughts on Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which came out last week. Gonna be honest, totally caught me off guard. This movie, I'll be honest, I actually nearly didn't even go see. I was a bit imming and ahhing about it. Aquaman was also out, and my wife said, "You're going to go cinema because we're going to go do some Christmas shopping." And I was like, "No, I don't want to go." She goes, "Well, why don't you go cinema?" And I thought, "All right, yeah." So I was like, "So I went in." And it's like, I was the only one in the theater. I was the only one there. That was instantly my kind of thing. Going, this doesn't seem too good. And then watched it. And I will be honest, I was completely wrong about this movie. It was really good. I really enjoyed it.
I'm in the same boat. The theater wasn't empty for me, though, and the exact circumstances weren't the same. But viewers will remember, we've been kind of iffy on this movie, especially based on the trailers. Mm. But having actually seen it, yeah, it was fantastic. It was funny. It had some great action sequences. Miles was great. Gwen was great. The other characters maybe didn't get much screen time, but they were still there. But yeah, this was an absolutely excellent movie, and I'm very happy to have been wrong about expectations on this. So yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's that kind of thing, isn't it? I went in really low expect. I didn't like the trailer at all. I really wasn't feeling it. I was starting to hear good things about it. And since then, my feed has been full of people talking about how great this movie is and one of the best ones of the year and one of the best Spider-Man movies ever. Is that kind of thing of like all of us where we've all gone and seen it and been like, oh no, that was really good. Maybe, or is it just, it's odd.
Actually, other than one other person who I barely really know, I don't know anyone who has actually seen this movie yet. Now that might change tomorrow when I get into work and people are like, oh, did you see the Spider-Verse movie? But yeah, so far my Twitter feed has been actually, well, keeping in mind my Twitter feed is like 11 people and three corporations. I haven't seen anything about it, but I have been kind of going, yes, it's good. You should go see it. It's fun. It's surprisingly touching and funny and action heavy. Yeah, I can't recommend it enough, especially for anyone who's a Spider-Man fan. I don't know if I would put it above Homecoming, but
no, yeah,
it is a very, very good Spider-Man movie. I would put it above any of the Tobey Maguire ones, and I do really like Spider-Man 2. Definitely put it above the Andrew Garfield ones. So if I had I have a couple complaints, but if I had a real complaint, it would be that they didn't go with the original plan to have Tobey Maguire voice Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Especially with the intro sequence, which is basically straight from the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans, including the dance sequence, although he's in the regular suit instead of the Venom suit. And the original plan was to have Tobey play it, but apparently they were like, no, it would confuse people. Like, dude, four people have played Spider-Man in the last 10 years. It's confusing enough.
And then five people played Spider-Man in just a small movie alone. So I think is, I've always been a bit weird thing with Miles Morales of whether or not I like this character or not. I've never, this one really sold him on it. Because like, even in the Spider-Man video game a couple of months ago, I was a bit like, it was a bit wide. I didn't quite go with him. This one seemed to work very well. I like the fact as well, they kind of pushed on him having his own powers and him being something different than the other ones. And I just like the fact of like Peter Parker being older, more rugged, and just feeling very, very different to the standard normal. You know, he wasn't his usual upbeat. So because they allowed Miles to be the young whippersnapper, the young one that just wanted to be there. Spider-Ham wasn't as intrusive as I was expecting him to be, because the trailers made him like, oh, he's this like lovable sidekick. But that did work. Spider-Man Noir, I don't think they really did enough with him. That would have been nice to have done a bit more with him. Gwen Stacy, I thought she worked quite well as a kind of, I don't want to say a love interest, but as a way of helping sort of bridge that gap between the two.
Right. So Gwen I really liked. I think actually I would have almost preferred to have Gwen as the lead instead of Miles, but I think reports are saying that they are going to do a spinoff and it's going to have Gwen and Spider-Woman, not probably the Jessica Drew Spider-Woman, and I think that there was one other one.
I think
Oh, Silk, right. Oh, that's a convoluted story. So I'm sure they'll tighten that one up, though.
Yeah.
Spider-Ham, he wasn't intrusive, like you were talking about. I haven't really seen, like, the TV trailers or whatever, so this was really the first time I saw Spider-Ham on the screen. And I thought they just actually didn't really do anything with him. Him and Penny, who was the mech one.
Yeah.
And I was just like, they're two characters who happen to be assisting, but they have almost no plot points of their own. They have very little story. They have very little attachment to this movie at all. They're just two characters to round it out. Spider-Man Noir was almost in that category, but they at least gave him the Rubik's Cube, which, yeah. And I know that sounds weird out of context, but in the movie, it makes sense. And that actually elevated him slightly up above the other two, because he had, even if it was a small one, a character point and a plot point in the movie, which was useful. And I'm going to go on to one other thing, which was, I didn't really like Peter in this. And I'm, without going into spoilers, the Peter who is the main one of this movie, I didn't like him at all. And it wasn't just, you know, you're not really supposed to like him at the beginning because he's run down and the world is beaten up. No, throughout the entire movie, even up to the end of his arc, I was just like, I don't care about you. You're annoying. Get off the screen. And that would be my number one complaint with the movie was Peter. Just did not like him.
See, I'd be honest, I like that side of him more, because it was that thing of, like, it really helped set him up that he was, you know, that much older, and he was worn down, and he's not, and being Spider-Man had taken that toll on him, and he'd lost MJ, and that whole thing of, you know, he liked doing it, but I don't know, I thought that worked well, because it really contrasted Miles and allowed him to be, because if he'd been that younger Peter Parker that we saw in the first half, that wouldn't have worked the same.
No, and I'm not complaining about his arc. His arc is perfectly fine. I mean, it's fairly by the numbers, but it's well executed. No, it's him I don't like. He irritated the heck out of me. I don't know if it was his voice actor, who is not TJ Miller, but might as well be. And I was just like, anytime he was on screen, I was just like, no, get off screen. You're in the way. I'd rather see Gwen and Miles talking, because you are just annoying the heck out of me.
Yeah. Okay. One of the other cool things I thought that was great about this movie was the use of the villains, because Kingpin, I don't even think I noticed that Kingpin was the main villain. I think, as I've been trying to, like, the way that they portrayed him just as this massive, great, big body with this little head. But I also love the fact that we had a Lady Octopus, we had Tombstone, we had Scorpion, we had Prowler, you know, we had, you know, all these villains, and yet it worked. It was really, because if you'd seen that in the normal, like, live action movies, I'd be saying there was too many villains. But it's, like, really weird in a cartoon, in the animated version, of just having Tombstone there. He's there, he's a bodyguard, he does something, and they move on, and Scorpion turns up, does something. It seems to work. It seems to just work. I don't know what they didn't. I don't know if they necessarily needed them, but it felt like, it was like, okay, cool. You know, that kind of worked.
I don't know. I feel the same about them as I do about Penny and Spider-Ham, which is just, they were kind of there. And yeah, it was cool to see Tombstone. I think Scorpion, not the Scorpion I would have used. I did not like the design for Kingpin at all. Like you were talking about, huge body, tiny little head. That irritated the heck out of me. I get that he's supposed to be a big guy.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess that's to sell, like, just how strong he is, but I didn't really like that design. But yeah, other than the Prowler, who, if you know the Miles Morales story, you know why he's important. And if you don't, you'll find out. Other than him, they were just kind of there. Not like, if you didn't know who Tombstone was, would you even understand what he was doing there? I mean, I was annoyed because Tombstorm got taken down by Aunt May in part of him. Like, there is not any universe in the world where Aunt May can take down Tombstone. His skin is literally unbreakable. She can beat him over the head with a golf club or whatever it was she hit him with, like, all day, and he won't even feel it. So that was kind of annoying. But it's also an alternate reality. He could just be a guy with gray paint on his face, and that's all his
And I'll be honest, I was not expecting a Dr. Octopus moment. I wasn't expecting that. That completely caught me off guard, and I loved it. Because I think it's how Spider-Verse, when I'm reading the Spider-Verse comics, I'm confused and I don't know. But this movie told it well enough that it all made sense. Everything that was different and didn't make any sense in the normal Spider-Man world made sense because they were in this parallel universe. And they were mixing it up, and they seemed to work. I didn't expect that side of things, and I wasn't expecting that character reveal in this one.
No, Dr. Octopus caught me by surprise. It was a good surprise. I really liked the way that they did that character. Out of the villains, other than Prowler, Ock was definitely my favorite. I would have preferred if Ock had been the primary villain, honestly. Mm. So
yeah, no, I just as a whole. It was just that kind of situation. I remember getting to the end of it and just going, you know, we had a fantastic Stan Lee cameo. You know, we had even the fact that they even put in a little note at the end about him and Ditko. I thought that was great. Did you sit right through to the end for the end credits?
Of course.
Yeah.
You think you're talking about that? That is one of the best end credit sequences I've seen in any of the Marvel movies, period. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, and I think as well, I was laughing as well because I remember used to watching that Spider-Man cartoon. So that cartoon, I still have that, like, it was awful when I was a kid watching it.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
But that whole thing, and obviously them setting up him kind of jumping back in time, I was kind of thinking at that point of just sort of, I did a kind of sort of making noise and going, can you just speed it up? Because I'm the only one in here. You could just speed it up for me.
I mean, they probably can't, but.
But it was just like, yeah, it was good. I like the fact they've set it up. They've obviously got this universe. They can bring more in. As a whole, I was completely caught off guard. I liked it. I wasn't expecting to like it. Sony, I'll be honest, they've given us Venom and Into the Spider-Verse this year. If they kept this going with Spider-Man the first time around, they might have got ended up with this situation. But who knows? If Apple end up buying Sony, then Spider-Man might be coming back anyway. But it's just one of those things of I really just was completely off guard. And yeah, I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it.
So this isn't what we're actually talking about, but you mentioned Venom. When we talked about Venom, I had not seen it. I have seen it now. 100% disagree. I was bored out of my mind in that movie. If I had been in the theater, I probably would have walked out. I actually have not seen the last 20 minutes because I'm done. I could not watch that movie. So, well, not to get off track, but yeah, going to have to 100% disagree on Venom. But Spider-Verse, on the other hand, go and see it. It's fantastic. It's not the best superhero movie of the year, but it's up there. And stay all the way through the end credits. I will say the end credits are the best end credits I've seen in a Marvel or Sony movie so far. I think I'm confident in saying that.
The art style was very different. It was a little bit like, sometimes I liked it, sometimes I didn't. I didn't like the blurring. There were some scenes where, like, and also it seemed like the way they were designing the characters, one minute they seemed to be very 3D, and the next minute they were like 2D, and it was very jumping around a bit. I kind of got used to it. I know in the trailer reaction, I didn't like it. It wasn't as jarring when I was watching it the whole movie. Then I thought it was the trailer edits that made it look a little bit more jumpy.
I think we just got used to it eventually, but it was still jarring. I thought so for reference, mostly what we're talking about is actually foreground and background. Mm. Anything that's not directly in focus was massively blurry to the point where you actually kind of had a double vision thing going on. And I got used to it, but I never liked it. And it would still, even towards the end of the movie, occasionally get in the way. It's obviously a stylistic choice. It's something they did very deliberately. Not a stylistic choice. I agreed with, but it is ultimately a very small thing. It's not like other movies or like Michael Bay Transformers where action is here and then action is here and then action is here and action is here, which kind of disorients the viewers. This was just kind of like, oh, that's kind of annoying. Ah, whatever. They're Spider-Gwen's kicking some butt over here now, so it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's just as a whole, I would definitely recommend it. I think this is going to be a big hit, especially when it hits like home video, because I think kids are going to love this. I mean, this is going to be a big toy pusher in like 3-4 months time, because I don't know necessarily, it's a very packed month for movie. I'm a bit worried that this movie maybe is at the wrong time of like, I mean, it's like that thing of there was no, it's like that kind of odd thing of, and I think you're going to be hard pressed to get mainstream people in to watch this. I'm going to be interested to see where the box office goes with it, because I think it might have a long tail end and it might be a good one in the long run. But, you know, something like Aquaman and Mary Poppins is really going to take the hit on this one first.
Yeah, or the Nutcracker. No, wait. No, so, yeah. Mary Poppins and Aquaman. Obviously, I haven't seen Aquaman. It comes out next week, but... yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and this isn't because we're a Disney podcast, but based on the track record of DC, I'm going to say that Spider-Man is probably going to be the better of the two movies, but Aquaman is probably going to do the better, at least up front, in terms of money. It's going to have a better opening weekend, but if Spider-Man can generate good word of mouth, it can get it better in the long run. Yeah. And I agree with you, you know, next week is going to be a hard sell for most people. Most people are going to want to see a family movie. I'm sure Mary Poppins is going to be huge, and Spider-Verse is just kind of trickle off to the side. Wreck-It Ralph might pick up some because it's a very obviously family friendly movie. But yeah, maybe early next year, January, if you've got something going on, you know, you just get home from the family gathering stuff. You kind of have a lull before New Year's and you want to just get out of the house. Spider-Verse would be an excellent movie to go check out.
Yeah, on that note, yeah, just go see it, because it really did. I was completely wrong on it, and I really enjoyed it, and I wasn't expecting to. And I sometimes, that might be the thing as well. Expectations are so much lower, you know, and that's not necessarily a bad thing sometimes.
And that might factor into it, but even without that, you know, especially at the beginning, I was laughing really hard at some of the early stuff that was going on with Miles. Yeah. So, well done. Good job,
very, very good, and a very good way of doing an origin story as well. But on that note, guys, let us know in the comments below what you guys think of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse in the comments below or on social media. Go like us on Facebook and Twitter, etc. Go check us out on the website. And also, James, where can they find you?
You can find me, heroiclegacy.com.
And on that note, guys, thank you very much for watching. See you guys soon. Laters.
Later.